By explained, I do not necessarily mean that they will be able to predict everything or even very much, but that we will understand why smiles and brainwaves and hormones work the way they do, in the same sense that, although we cannot predict next month's weather, still we understand why the weather works and the way it does. In Pippard's own Cambridge, there is a group of biologists headed by Sidney Brenner who have completely worked out the wiring diagram of the nervous system of a small nematode worm, C. elegans, so that they already have a basis for understanding, in some sense, everything about why that worm behaves the way it does. What is lacking so far is a program based on this wiring diagram that can generate the worm's observed behavior. Of course, a worm is not a human. But between a worm and a human, there is a continuum of animals with increasingly complex nervous systems, spanning insects and fishes and mice and apes. Where is one to draw the line? Suppose, then, that we will come to understand the objective correlatives of consciousness in terms of physics, including chemistry, and that we will also understand how they evolved to be what they are. It is not unreasonable to hope that when the objective correlatives to consciousness have been explained, somewhere in our explanations, we shall be able to recognize something, some physical system for processing information that corresponds to our experience of consciousness itself, to what Gilbert Ryle has called the ghost in the machine. That may not be an explanation of consciousness, but it will be pretty close. There is no guarantee that progress in other fields of science will be assisted directly by anything new that is discovered about the elementary particles, but, I repeat, and not for the last time, I am concerned here not so much with what scientists do, because this inevitably reflects both human limitations and human interests, as I am with the logical order built into nature itself. It is in this sense that branches of physics, like thermodynamics and other sciences, like chemistry and biology, may be said to rest on deeper laws, and in particular, on the laws of elementary particle physics. In speaking here of a logical order of nature, I've been tacitly taking what a historian of philosophy would call a realist position. Realist not in the everyday modern sense of being hard-headed and without illusions, but in a much older sense of believing in the reality of abstract ideas. A medieval realist believed in the reality of universals like Plato's forms, in opposition to nominalists like William of Ockham, who declared them to be mere names. My use of the word realist would have pleased one of my favorite authors, the Victorian George Gissing, who wished that the words realism and realist might never again be used save in their proper sense by writers on scholastic philosophy,